Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced at the Melbourne Community Support Program and brought to you through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves, and welcome to a brand new program in the ongoing series of Listen to Older Voices. This is part one of a three-part program featuring the life and times of 79-year-old Honorine Olsen. Born in India to European parents, Honorine shares many fascinating stories of what life was like both as an Anglo-Indian and as a young girl. Her father had a senior railways position, which meant she and the family were constantly on the move. Honorine shares stories of life in boarding schools that she attended from a very young age, as it was the best way for an Anglo-Indian girl to get a good education. Her stories take us through her life up to her experiences in a teacher's college. It was a life quite different to that experienced by Australian children of the times. So, without much more ado, here I am talking with Honorine. Honorine, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me into your home.
It's my pleasure, yeah.
Could I start by asking you, when were you born and whereabouts were you born?
Well, I was born on the 1st of August, 1939, in a little place called Dindigul in South India.
Right.
Yes, so my father was on the railways, and we moved every 2 years to a different place.
Goodness.
He was a permanent way inspector, and every 2 years, of course, I'm one of eight, so we moved around. I can't remember those, but anyway, 5 and 6 years old, we went to boarding school.
Is that because you didn't really have roots and it was hard to get to a school and stay there, or was it?
I think that was my father. We had to be educated.
Right.
And where we lived was, you're right, was very illiterate.
Right.
And there'd be the Indian schools. I am part Indian, what yes. We call Anglo-Indians.
Was it mum or dad who were Anglo? Or
the whole family. Mum's father was English, and dad's, we're going into the history, that he's Portuguese and Italian somewhere along the way.
Many
generations. Yeah.
Yes.
But you'll find people from India who are not the thoroughbred Indians, where we're sort of, because the British were there, they colonized, the French were there, the Portuguese, name it, whoever wanted to rob the country turned up, yeah.
Turned up there. Mm.
But, yes.
So education was very important.
Very, very, my father was very, his sisters were nurses, and I'm going back to, at that time, in 20s and 30s, they were nurses, trained nurses, and one worked. I always bear that in mind. At that, you know, they talk about women being put down, but my dad's sisters were nurses.
Right.
So we're going back to if I was born in 39, they would have been in their 20s at that time. So,
right.
You know, and that's in India.
Yes.
So, we went to boarding school. Depends on where we will live, work. My dad was stationed in a place called Uttar Command, which is in the southern part of India. It was a hill station. Those days, the British went to those places because it was cooler.
Right.
And you have the Nilgiris, the tea plantations in that region.
Yes.
So dad was at what we used to call Uti. So the next big school was in Kunnoor. At 5 years, we went total off to boarding school, and we were there for about till we were eight. And then my dad kept moving around, so we'd go home once a year at that time. Much to my mother's disgust.
So mum wasn't all that happy about the boarding school situation?
Well, look at 5, 6, you know.
Close, yes.
Yeah. But then when we came home, there was always another baby. Okay, so my mother was never lonely. Okay. So my dad had a sister who was a nun in the Holy Cross Convent in Tuticorin, and they were sisters of Daughters of Charity or something. Mm. So my dad had a sister there, and all the his sisters said, why are we separated from his other children? So we all went to Tuticorin, which is at the bottom of India, if you know that it's a peninsula, mm-hmm. and right at the bottom. Tuticorin and the sea, you know, not that we ever saw anything there, because we were in school. At 8 or 9, we were in Tuticorin, right up till I finished high school I was 17 when I finished high school here.
Going back to you then as a younger girl, you know, 6, 7, 8, what were your feelings about being in a boarding school away from your family? Did it matter to you?
Look, when we went home in November, and those days I can remember the big heavy trunks, and my mother would start crying 3 weeks after we arrived, because in another 6 weeks we're going back. Okay, so we remember that. And then we'd go back in February, I think. Yes, I think in February, because the school year began in February, and we went right up till November. But during midterm, we would go to people's homes. There were some couples who looked after us during, you know, what we used to have, Michaelmas holidays in September. Yes. You'd know those words.
Did you enjoy the experience?
I cannot remember that. I can't.
That's interesting.
I can't. I do remember one thing. I was in prep. I was very clever, very clever. I have to mention this because I went up, could have been because there were many children in the class, and they prepared me to go to the next class, which was grade one. But I could not understand money. And I remember the teacher used to hit me on my legs. Now, I'm supposed to be very clever. I could not comprehend it. And she was in desperation because she wants to move me up, what they called a double promotion. That was my downfall. I never recovered from that because I needed the foundation.
Yes. Yes.
See, they don't think about these things, you know. However, I think about that a lot because that was my downfall. I never, ever picked up because I lost a lot of the basics by going to another class. And they already learned everything and I didn't. But that's what they did those days. So that would have been in 45, or about that, 39, 40.
So you were going to boarding school basically when the Second World War was on?
Yes, yes.
Did that ever impact on you?
Not really, no. Though, all I remember of the war was my mother had a ration card. But look, we were very protected in India, very. We didn't know a lot. Those days we didn't read the papers,
of course,
5 and 6. But I know my mother's brother went what they used to call war service. And my dad's brother and his sister was a nurse in the army. But I think I remember 45, and there was a lot of celebrations in the school, but it didn't make an impact at all.
Too young. Yes.
Yeah, we were too.
Yes.
And of course, we were not home. We were in a boarding school, very protected.
Yes.
You had your meals there. And
yes.
Yeah.
You've mentioned Mum a few times. What sort of woman was she?
Wow.
When you think back to her.
Yes, let me think. Well, she was very, very... I talked about her the other day. Well, look, in India, we're a little bit spoiled because we don't do any of the work. We have servants.
Of course.
My mother was a little bit spoiled, but that's why I'm talking about. When my dad retired, we bought a house in Bangalore. At this stage, I'd finished high school. And my mother quickly ran a boarding house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for students who came from... Well, there was a student from Mauritius, and there were students who came from other parts of India.
Mm. Did you get yourself involved in that, or did you have a career in mind?
1955, now I remember that year because I finished high school, and I went off.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio. I'm Rob Greaves, and I'm talking with Honoreen Olsen. And Honoreen is recalling her early years living in India.
In 56, I went to Madras. You know, Madras is now Chennai. I went to the teacher's college there, which was Church Park. Church Park was a very, very prominent place. Everyone of some went to Church Park to be. So I went for my teacher training. It was 2 years.
Was that an enjoyable experience?
I'm not sure. I can't remember a lot because it was 2 years. It was fun. It was fun, I know that, because we had a lot of... we were 18.
Yes.
18. The girls were all of the same age, whereas in school, we didn't have a lot of... We had friends, but we didn't have a lot of things to discuss. But here, we were on a different wavelength. And everyone, we would discuss things, I remember that. And we'd have dances, we danced with all the girls, that's where I learned it. Oh, there again, talking about the Anglo-Indians, we danced before we walked because the British influence there, they had big, what they call institutes. And the railway institutes and the British would dance. My mother was quite a good dancer. And we learned to dance quite a bit.
Of course, we formed a ballroom type dance.
We did, that's right. Then, of course, as the other ones began to grow, some of my brothers and sisters are excellent at the jive, which was very popular at that time.
Over in India.
India. Oh, you have every little straight boy plays the guitar.
Even then?
Yes. My young brother had a group. They were called the Mojas, and my dad bought a guitar for my other brother, Hector, and he was not interested, but Glenn taught himself and had his own band there. So Glenn would have been, he was 21 when he came here, so he would have been 16 to 18, yeah.
So he was just slightly younger than you?
Well, I'm the second, and then Bernie, she's the eldest. After me, there's Daphne. So Daphne lives in Brisbane. I'm all over the place. About this time, my dad retired in 1959. My elder sister got married in Bangalore. That was the last place where dad retired. In Bangalore, you hear a lot about Bangalore now. Mm. So we lived in the railway colony. The railway always provided us with a beautiful home, absolutely beautiful home. Many servants, today I know that some taxpayer paid for it. At that time I didn't understand it. Okay. So we had a lot of servants, the gardeners, and we had a pig in that place, and the servant took care of that. We had big, very big grounds, but we were not always at home.
Right.
But in 55, when my dad retired, when my dad retired, 55, I finished high school. I went to teacher training in Madras, 57. So I started teaching in 58 in Madras, 1958. In 59, my elder sister got married, and dad retired completely at that time in 59. So from our house, the railway house in Bangalore City, we bought a house in the cantonment. That's how they termed it those days. And it was a very big house, upstairs and downstairs, very nice. The first time we owned our own home, otherwise we always lived in railway, what they call the railway colonies.
Yes.
The drivers lived there. My dad was a permanent way inspector, and we had everything we wanted. We were never short of food.
The railways was a major institution. It still is.
That's what the British did. They did the post and telegraph, the railways, the schools. All the schools were Anglo-Indian schools. Medium of instruction was in English. Hospitals. What else did they do? Anything worthwhile the British accomplished there. But I heard another Indian on one of these, and he said the British didn't do a thing. But this was my opinion, you see, because I saw the railways. And India has a network of railways. You could go anywhere in India because of the railways. And in these colonies, you'd get a lot of the Anglo-Indians. They'd be the drivers, the guards, the ticket inspectors. They're all Anglo-Indians.
Right.
And then you'd have a railway school and a railway institute, their own little
colony. So it's almost a community.
It was a community.
Yes.
As children, we were never there. We just came once a year.
Yes.
And every 2 years to a different place. It's interesting. I'm thinking about that. Consequently, we didn't make a lot of friends because we did not live. So I have to go back. That's Bernie, my eldest sister, Daphne, and I. We went to boarding school. Hector was the next boy, and he was there. Those days, you could only be there till you were eight in a girls' school, something to that effect.
Right.
So when he was nine, he was shuffled off to another place where a very, very big school was called Campion, run by the Celestian brothers. Oh, we had schools in India are very, very big, very big. They're huge and they're run by very big organizations. And in these schools, it's all English.
Of course.
We did everything in English. So my brothers, Hector went to Campion in Trichy, which is down south again. Then my dad retired and he came home. And the others were going to Mari, Glenn, Leslie, the three of them, went to the railway school in whatever colony we were in. So when Dad retired in 59, Les would have been seven. So we came to Bangalore cantonment, and the boys went to St. Germain's. There again, it was run by either French nuns or priests or whatever.
Yeah.
And my sister Mari went to the girls' school, which was St. Joseph's Convent.
So the children really were quite spread out across a whole range of schools.
That's what one of my young brothers said. We're a big family, but we never ever lived together.
No, what a strange situation.
And I think that is why we're close, but... funny, I was thinking about that, and yet not very close.
Yes, I understand totally.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, a program that presents the stories of everyday Australians through the recollection of their lives.
Let's come back to you. You mentioned you finished your teacher training around the 1959 time.
Yeah.
Can you remember going to your first school as a teacher?
I do. Went to my first school in Madras in Williams. And I was teaching grade 1 or 2. And look, it is today I'm terribly, terribly scared because the room was a huge room and there would have been about 50 children there.
Wow.
Really, it was. When I think about it today, I'm scared. And yet I did it then. And I bought Church Park was the training place. And then I lived on the premises and every morning the nuns would drive us down to the school. I liked my, but I don't think I learned a lot. I think a lot about that. And I was a teacher, but I don't think I was a good teacher. That's on reflection.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll explain to you why. When I left I was there 58, 59. In 59, I left and went back to Bangalore. That was the home ground now. And I worked in St. Joseph's, where Mari was studying. I worked there for 2 years. And there again, I was with the little ones. But I think about it, and I don't think I was a good teacher at all.
Were you enjoying it, though?
I probably did because, you know, I was earning and I went out. And at the stage, I was 19 or 20. I was going out. Then I went to Calcutta about that time and I was teaching in a in a convent school. There again, I was always very protected. Calcutta's wild. And so we had, the nuns ran boarding houses, so we would board with them and we'd go out to the schools. I loved that part because I met a lot of girls my age group. We were in our 20s then. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And I think I was a better teacher then. But after that, I went back to Bangalore. And I went to a very, very good school. Going back to the Anglo-Indians, we had an association called the Anglo-Indian Association, which was run by Mr. Frank Anthony, who was a member of parliament, and Jawaharlal Nehru promised him that there would always be schools for the Anglo-Indians. Mm-hmm. And so I went to work in one of the Frank Anthony schools. It was huge, very, very well done. But and there again, I was not a good teacher again because I didn't learn methodology. Isn't that strange? But I'm comparing that when I came to Australia, 69, 50 years ago.
So it wasn't until you came to Australia that you had something else to measure
my teaching background.
Against.
Because I went back to university.
Okay, let's just step back a few steps here, back to India before we come to Australia. So you were actually teaching for about 10 years.
10 years, I was teaching for 10 years.
So even on reflection, you don't think you were a good teacher. You must have still touched and reached out to a lot of kids.
I've had good jobs and very good reports. But it's funny how you feel inadequate now on reflection.
I mean, we can't, but it would be interesting exercise, wouldn't it, if you could find some of those kids and ask them.
Yes, yes.
Because we often are harder on ourselves.
That's what we do. It's probably that, I think, because I taught in different places in Madras, Bangalore. I went to Calcutta.
So in doing this, you actually saw a lot of India.
I did. Oh, my father, because every 2 years we were in different places. We were in different places.
But as a young child, you probably weren't taking in as much as you were.
We didn't. We just went home and we were so glad to be home. And my mother would sit and cry. So, you know, that's because she knew 6 weeks later we're going back again. Mm. Yes.
But as a teacher, now you're an older person, not older person, but you're in your teens to 20s. Yeah. You're able to appreciate the towns and the
cities. I think so, yes, I did. And I went to Calcutta and that was mind-blowing, you know. But there again, I lived a very protected life.
You said mind-blowing. Is that because it was so big?
It was so big and very... look, coming from smaller places, this was huge. Huge. And but it was... I suppose we're looking at the... I was very immature. Mm-hmm. I think that covers that mind. Very immature because we were so always protected. Even at home, always protected.
So Calcutta would have been a real in-your-face place then for you.
It was, but there again, I was in a residential place.
So they were still protecting you there?
Still protecting, yes, yes. Right. We didn't go, we were not wild teenagers at all, no. And I miss that. That's what I miss. Mm. Though we'd come to Bangalore, and Bangalore were very, very social, and all the boys would be hanging out on the doorstep and whatever, that sort of thing. My dad was very strict with us. We couldn't go to dances till we finished high school. Very strict. And but that's with the older ones. With the young ones, they were let loose. They were old at that time, my parents, so they just let the boys and girls do what they wanted to. But we were very restricted.
So at what age was your father happy for you to go out with boys? How old were you, roughly? Late teens, early 20s?
They were never happy. Well, I have to refer, and I'll explain to you why. They were very protective. So we'd go to a dance at night, and we'd say, "Dad, please stay home," but he had to take us. And of course, you know, we want to go out with the boy and hold his hand. That's all you did those days, holding hands. Yeah,
that's right.
I always say that was the height of sexual activity, holding hands, going back to the 60s. And then my dad would stay up till one, two in the morning with us. Oh, that was just awful. When I think back now, yes, very restricting.
Very.
And they were nice boys, but my mother and father... At this stage, I was the bread earner. My dad had retired.
Of course, of course.
Yes.
Was Mum still running the...
Mum started that year, well, maybe 70. No, I have to go back. In 59, 60, we moved to our house in Coles Road, Bangalore. So, and we were all living there. I'll go back to Daphne, Hector, Marie, Glenn, Les, and it was very big. So we lived upstairs and we had all these rooms downstairs. And Mum decided that she'd do something. She was, must have been 50s at that time. I was a school teacher, so I was earning. And that year, Daphne went off to do her Pitman's shorthand.
Mm-hmm. Join Honorine and I next week for part two of a story, which focuses largely on her life in Australia, how she got here, and how she worked in a range of primary schools before taking up the challenge of teaching children with intellectual disabilities. That's next week, part two of the story of Honorine Olsen on Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.